Translation. Nandanacharya, the 17th branch of the Chaitanya tree, is celebrated within the world because of the two Prabhus, Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Because the two Prabhus, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, sometimes hid in his house. Nandanacharya was another companion of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his kirtan pastimes in Navadvip. Srila Nityananda Prabhu, as Avadhut, traveled on many pilgrimages, and when he first came to Sri Navadvip Dham, he remained hidden in the house of Nandanacharya. It is there that he first met all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited his Mahaprakash, he asked Ramai Pandit to call Advaita Prabhu, who was hiding in the home of Nandanacharya, for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that he was hiding. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya also sometimes hid in the home of Nandanacharya. In this connection, one may refer to Chaitanya Bhagavat Madhya Lila, chapter 6 and 17. Nandanacharya Shaka Jagati Vidita Lukaya Dui Prabhur Yara Gari Stita. Nandanacharya, the 17th branch of the Chaitanya tree, is celebrated within the world because of the two Prabhus. Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda sometimes hid in his house. So this is at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. And Adi Lila, for the first many chapters, maybe up to like 13 or 14, maybe chapter 13, there's this phenomenal introduction to the stories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I mean, really, the powerful stories, histories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm reading another book by a novelist, and he was saying, stories are something to be feared, because they're tremendously powerful. Tremendously powerful. So, after like chapter 13 onwards, all these beautiful stories. Beautiful stories. And then in some places, you know, within the story, then there's quite an elaboration of the theology of devotion is given in many of the stories. But more than anything from all these beautiful stories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're the bhakti ras, or the pleasure, the taste, the sweetness of devotion is experienced just by contemplating them. Just by contemplating them, hearing them, hearing stories of devotion, specifically of this group of completely eccentric devotees. So, before all those stories, there's all these chapters of tremendous presentation of tattvas, or truths, or what truths lie behind the truths, and what truths the persons, or the prominent persons within this text, lived and represented and taught in their lives significantly. It's presented very clearly. So, there's a level of reading, a level of study for many chapters in this Adi Lila, which are required before one starts to read all the beautiful stories. So don't give up in reading those, because there's so much to learn and to experience from the rest. Here in this text, this is still part of the explanation of the Mangalacharan of Krishnadas Kaviraj. He explains, he offers prayers, and those prayers he covers very, very deep subject matter. Then comes the explanation of all those prayers. And then comes the various tattvas, supreme tattvas, pancha tattva explanations. Then after that, now all the authentic persons related to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are presented. It's like that. You know, these people are mentioned here by Kaviraj Goswami. They're mentioned. They're all branches of this great tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're worthy of mention. they may be authorities in devotion, or they lived the life of devotion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. There's others not mentioned who also wrote biographies and things like that, but they're not respected by followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entirely. So here it's mentioning the 17th branch, a person called Nandanacharya. And as you all know, and everyone who's been to Mayapur, not far from the ISKCON temple there, just towards Hula Ghat, as you come out, you go to the left, down the road a little bit further down, is the home of Nandanacharya. He lived there, he worshipped there. Nandanacharya, there's some differing views on who exactly he was or who his parents were in Vaishnav scriptures. But he was a very prominent person. He was a priest, he was a Brahmin, perhaps a Bhattacharya, and obviously he was a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. But more importantly, mostly when they speak about Nandanacharya, they speak about his house, Gare. Because what happened there was profound and remarkable. Because it seemed to be a hiding place for people when they had to go off the grid. Then they went to Nandanacharya's house. Everybody needs to get away, isn't it? Sometimes you experience that. It's good to see Sutapa Prabhu's back. He's always getting away from here. Nobody knows where he is. We're planning to put a tracking device on him. So every time we need to have a meeting here, so where's Sutapa? He's traveling somewhere. That's the brahmachari life. So sometimes people need to it's just too much. You just have to get away from everything. You need a getaway place. Nandanacharya's house seemed to be that place. And most prominently, and as you know, that when Nityananda Prabhu, he was traveling on his own, traveling. I believe he was waiting for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give up on his proud scholastic, part of his life, defeating all the pundits and arguments and teaching the logic in Navadvip. He was waiting, and he was finally waiting in Vrindavan. And after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to Gaya. And on the trip there, I think before he went to Gaya, Madhavendra Puri had come. Was it before he went to Gaya? Madhavendra Puri had come and spent some time. Ishwara Puri had come. He spent some time and he helped him edit a text. Yeah? And then he left. So then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, you know, he was just there for some shraddha rites of his family, his father. But the whole, you know, the ambience of the place was just overwhelming for him as a young man. He reached the famous temple, isn't it? And he saw the footprints of Lord Vishnu, and the priests were all reciting mantras and prayers, and they were bathing those feet. And in that moment, he just became overwhelmed, and he collapsed. And then he met Ishwara Puri there. He spent some time with Ishwara Puri there and learned so much from him. And then he decided to leave for Vrindavan, wasn't it? And then the voice came from the sky. I'm just remembering a pundit in Jagannath Puri telling us a story like this to all the Gurukul boys. And he came to this one point of a voice came from the sky and he said, "Hello, Chaitanya!" All the voice started laughing so much. But then said, "No, not now. You continue on home again." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Navadvip. So there, isn't it, he became mad. He began trying to serve devotees. He was trying to wash devotees' clothes for them. And he was just... People were saying, he's different now. There's something completely strange about him. He's became really devotional. He's just always chanting Krishna's names. And everybody, the word spread everywhere. And in the beautiful flower garden in the morning, all the men were there picking flowers. for their deities, and Gadadhar was there, and Srivas, they were all gathered there, and they're all picking flowers, and they're all talking, you know, wow, Nimai's came back, you know, he's like Radha Gokulanandaki. He's just singing and chanting all the time. And, you know, everyone's talking about it. And he wants to meet all of us. Isn't he? He wants to meet all of us. And so he gathered all the devotees together at another devotee's house. And then they all sat before him. And he respected them all. And then he said, I have to tell you, something's come over me. And he began to cry and exhibit all these astasatic bhavas. And they were all just completely melting away in his association with his beauty and this devotional expression that had come over him. And a very kind of, perhaps, made him almost pathetic in that he was given so much to his emotions. And so he fell unconscious. And everybody else in his company then fell into a trance-like state, where even when he was, you know, saliva was running from his face, and just because he was just so in a state of ecstasy and unconsciousness, that everything looked like beauty. It was all transcendental beauty. And then they all became unconscious as well and entered another realm of Krishna consciousness, of inner devotion, of mysticism. And Gadadhar hadn't been invited, but he was hiding behind some screen somewhere. And he was a devotee since his childhood, and he was still young. And seeing the whole rapture, the whole scene that took place, he felt knocked everything over and became exposed to everyone that he was hiding, because he fell unconscious in the same place as well. This was a phenomenal thing. This was something absolutely profound, and it wasn't something that other people were doing before. So anyway, when all of this expression became in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Nityananda Prabhu, he came to Navadvip then. He came to Nandanacharya's house, and it said when Nandanacharya saw him, he said he was big like a tree. He was big like a tree. And he had a most beautiful face. His face was radiant like millions of moons. His teeth were defeated the most beautiful pearls, and the redness of his eyes. And his smile gave, it said his smile gave life to the dead and the dying. And he was tremendously grave and incessantly chanting the names of Krishna. And when Nandanacharya saw him, he just thought, this is the person who's come to reveal Krishna to everybody. But he remained there in Nandanacharya's house, and nobody was aware. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a dream, and he said to the devotees around him, he said, I had a dream that this profound person came to Navadvip. He came in a chariot with a banner of a palm tree on it, the flag of a palm, the symbol of a palm. And he was big, beautiful limbs. He was wearing blue silken clothes. And in one hand, in the right hand, he had a club. In the left, he had like a staff with a kamandalu tied to it. He's this wonderful person. And then he said, this great person has come. And he told, I think, Haridas and Srivas Thakur to go and find him. For 8 hours, they searched everywhere. 8 hours. The man who asked, you can find someone for me. He said, well, after 5 minutes, come back. I don't see them anywhere. So, like that. There was nowhere left to look. And they came back and they said, we can't find him anywhere. Then Mahaprabhu said, no, he is here. I will reveal him to you. Only I can reveal him to you. This is the one point I want to just signify here, is the revelation. the revelation of things coming through devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a devotee, revealing, in this case, Nityananda Prabhu, God himself also as a devotee. The revelation, he said, I'll reveal him to you. They couldn't find him anywhere. He said, no, I'll reveal it. I'll reveal him to you. And they went there. Now, I'm not going to do this story justice in this class, for sure. But, isn't it, they went, and he was silently sitting there, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came before him. They stared at each other. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on this point of revelation, he thought, I'll reveal the character of this madman to everyone. And he asked one of the devotees to recite some verses, or sing some verses. And so they decided, they sang a description of, just a description of Krishna. And Nityananda Prabhu began to cry, and he just became unconscious. Of course, he was in Nandanacharya's house. It said he was roaring like a madman all the time. So an extremely, what would you say, avaduta or eccentric person? Eccentric devotional person. Then he danced, he jumped, he spinned, everybody thought his bones were going to crack and crash to pieces as he hit the floor. He became entirely maddened in a devotional mood. Until finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took him in his lap. And it said that when Mahaprabhu took him in his lap, it was like Lakshman lying on the lap of Ram after he had been shot by the arrows of who? Indrajit. Except these were the arrows of prema. Arrows of prema, of love. And then he spoke, he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like a child. He said he spoke like a young child. And he said, I was in Vrindavan. And I was going to every temple. But the altar of every temple was vacant. And I asked everyone, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? And they all said to me, he's appeared in Navadvip and he's come to deliver everyone. So I came. So in this way, in this house, such a significant place, where I was staying in Mayapur over the last few years, in an apartment, it's at the back of this ashram, and every day you go by, there's just like an open drain, and there's people there, that's where they still take bath with the hand pumps all around the back, coaches of people. And I remember I was walking with my daughter there recently, and I said, this is where Mahaprabhu met Nityananda Prabhu. She was like, what? Such a significant place. He was in hiding there. He was revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now also it mentions here that it's a special place because two Prabhus hid here. And the second Prabhu it mentions in the verse is Nityananda Prabhu. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. It is said that on one occasion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not feeling prema like he would normally feel it. He wasn't feeling the devotional sentiments. And this was really disturbing him. I don't know if you have those vacant moments where you just feel a bit hollow, a bit vacant, and then you maybe think, maybe I've offended someone. What's happened? I don't have the same passion about this. I'm trying to make it look to everybody like I'm with it, but I think my facial expressions are giving away my vacant heart. And so Mahaprabhu was feeling like that. And Advaita turned to him and said, you've given to prema to everyone except for me, so I have dried up the ocean of prema in you. And that really upset Mahaprabhu. He really upset him. And he ran away. And in an act of giving up his life, he jumped in the Ganga. And he was recovered from the Ganga by the devotees, who then took him to he wanted to go to hide in Nandanacharya's house. And only two devotees, again, maybe it was Srivas Haridas, only two devotees were there. Nobody knew where he was. This was creating anguish for everyone. They couldn't live in his absence. Everyone was in complete anguish. Where is Mahaprabhu? They were looking for him everywhere. Advaitacharya began fasting. He was so devastated and almost in protest, he began to fast. And so he then, Nandanacharya then said to Mahaprabhu that you're trying to hide here, but it's not possible because your devotees insist in giving your revelation to everyone. You have no control of this. You have to go. And then with that, then he returned to the association of all the devotees. But somehow he needed that time. But because of this point, it's good I mentioned it at the beginning, which the end point is that it's his subservience to the aspirations, his willingness to comply with his devotees is the cause of his revelation to all of us. Now that was Mahaprabhu and that was Nityananda Prabhu who hid in this house. In the purport, then it mentions that Advaitacharya also hid in this house. And this was during the Mahaprakash Lila of Chaitanya, where everyone was coming and he was manifesting his divine form to everyone of Navadvip. And then he said to Ramai Pandit, call Advaitacharya to come and bring all the paraphernalia for puja. So Ramai Pandit went to call Advaita, and he called Advaita, and Advaita started coming. Then Advaita thought, no, I'm going to test my Lord now. Well, it was Mahaprabhu said, go and call Advaita, because it's by him, by his prayers and by his devotion, that I've revealed myself to everyone. So again, this point of revelation through the devotee, through his ardent prayers and devotion. So Advaitacharya, he hid in Nandanacharya's house for some time, and he said, go back and tell him you can't find me. So Ramai, you know, this is how you get all these instructions from superiors. Sometimes it's difficult to manage, but it has to be managed. You have to keep them satisfied, not offended. And so, even if it all doesn't add up in your head. And so he went back and he said, he's nowhere to be found. He said, don't. I know exactly where he has to be found. Now go to Nandanacharya's house and bring him here. So then he went back and said, oh, he knew. He knew where you were. You have to come now. And so Advaitacharya immediately came. And he worshipped Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that situation. So in these little stories of devotion, I think that predominantly things are taught. One, that a Vaishnava is known by their symptoms, their character, not by the size of their kantimala or the size of their japa beads. You know, these can draw attention to the wrong things, you know. As I get more advanced, my japa mala gets bigger. You know, and I get the biggest one from Radha Kund, the bead bag, as big as a sleeping bag. But, you know, and the tilak getting bigger and bigger, you know. Sometimes people's tilak, you know, tilak's meant to come up to your hairline, finish. Some of you look at it all the way right back there to the sika, you know. Saves them wiping that bit on the back. It's probably never good for preaching that wiping tilak on your sika, you know. This doesn't look right in England. So these things, you know, the external things get bigger and bigger. Maybe that's an aspiration to advance, but it's just all being externalized because the internals are not moving. So, a Vaishnava is known by their character, their lakshana. Chaitanya revealed Nityananda Prabhu to everybody because he manifests anubhavas, sattik bhavas, These are external symptoms of the internal state of a person's heart. Nityananda Prabhu began to cry. His hairs began to stand on end. He seriously manifests these extreme symptoms of love, and he was known by that. Now we need lists of qualities of what makes a Vaishnava, etc., etc. And there's some level of discrimination in these things as well, with regards to the level that we respect, that we honor, that we serve, that we give our life. It's mentioned in the Nectar of Instructions that Krishneti, no. Yes, Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. Dikshesti chit pranatabhyas chavajantamisham. Shushushayo bhajana vigyana manyamanya. Nandati sunyam hridam ipshita sangalabhya. Somebody who chants the name of Krishna, you know, mentally respect them. This is a really big thing, actually. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing some of the grihasthas, he said to them, Prabhu kohena Krishna seva Vaishnav sevana nirantara kara Krishna nama sankirtana. Simple instruction for grihasthas. Serve Krishna. Serve Vaishnavas. Continuously chant. They said to him, well, who's a Vaishnava? Let's get that point sorted out from the beginning, isn't it? Somebody like that. Well, who's a Vaishnava, really? I mean, who's really a Vaishnava? Who's a Satguru? Who's a, you know, it's all these things, you know. Put it further and further away from me, as far as you can, that it becomes that person who actually doesn't exist on planet Earth. It's not one of these fallible creatures on Earth, somewhere else. So, somebody, this point, Mahaprabhu, they said to him, who is a Vaishnava? He said, somebody who chants the name of Krishna. Once. That kind of like, pushed the boundaries on that point. It's like, make no mistake. It's like the famous statement of all the American presidents. Make no mistake. Anyone who chants the name of Krishna once, that's it, finished. Serve the person. At least in your mind. Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. Respect in your mind. Diksheti chit bhajantam. That Diksheti chit means somebody who's committed to the whole thing. They've formally committed themselves to the whole thing. It's a marker. It's not always the same. Prabhupada said, diksha's not everything. People take initiation, they don't follow anything for 20 years, then you want to tell us all what to do. It's not a follower. That's just, you know, it's just my father was a great devotee, or my uncle was, the person who gave me initiation was a great devotee, therefore I am now the Sampradaya representative. No. Prabhupada says by following, by serving, in a sustained way, not a whimsical way. So, Diksheti Chit Pranatibhis. Chabad, that somebody who is there in their bhajan, they're formally committed, yes. Get down, pay your dandavat. Then, shushusaya bhajana vigyanam, bhajana vigyan. Somebody who's advanced in bhajan. Advanced. And one of the qualities of that is mentioned, out of all the ones that could have been mentioned, nandadi sunnam, hridam. Their hearts free from this propensity to find fault in other people. They don't see the flaws in it. They don't see the fault. They're not. You know, it's a different thing if the Gurudev's correcting his disciple. You know, stop serving prasad with your left hand. Whatever. You know, this has to be done. He has to find your fault to assist you to become the great person you're meant to be. That's a service that perhaps doesn't get enough thanks, but it's there. But that's not a fault-finding campaign. Nandadi sunnam. There's no aparadha in that. This nandadi sunnam, riddham, the heart, within the heart, it's not this criticism, business, offensing, making offenses, business, nothing. It's clean. That person give your life. Serve that person. More than your mind, more than your physical body joining your mind. Give yourself, serve that person. Find that person. They're hiding somewhere. They're not going around doing a campaign. Everyone come to my Vyas Puja. It's nothing like that. They don't need to do any propaganda for themselves. They're trying to evade people's attention. There's no aspiration for these things. Their qualities are all explained in the Shastra. It's for us to find them. They're in the home of Nandanacharya. They're wherever they may be. Seek these people. Serve these people. And the revelation of Krishna comes from these people. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki. Now, before you run, there's a Bhakti Shastri program now. Yeah? So, we just go. Did I take any questions or comments, or do we do that right now?